Man, hey, good to talk to you too. Hey, Brian, there's your crackers. Well, I did something really stupid this morning. I ran a half marathon on purpose. I know, and I'm not a runner at all. And so, but I do know how to work these stands, that's for sure. But that'll be all right. This morning, it was really, it was good. I really am not a runner. And so the best thing about this morning was getting cheered for. Because there's all these people there. And everybody's like, yeah, go. Hey, you in the green, go. And I'm not above, I could have been like Mr. Pride and been like, I don't need you. You know, this is nothing. I was like, thanks. Literally every mile. Thanks, guys. Thanks. You know. And I ate it up. I loved it. And so it's a great feeling to be cheered for, especially when they're like yelling, you go, you look like junk, but go, you know, and I'm like red. And anyway, so we're going to do a little cheering. It's going to be a little awkward, but I need Samuel Cupp to come here. Yeah, he knows he's going to do something, but he doesn't really know what. And so I wish I could do this to everyone just because it's such a cool feeling. But we're going to do nothing but for the next 15 seconds, cheer Samuel on. Okay. Samuel's in my small group. Yeah. Whoa, hold up. No, we're just not going to gradually go into it. I mean, we're going to erupt, which is awkward. And it's awkward for Samuel. So when I on the count of three, and Clint, you might turn my mic down because I'm going to cheer too. We're just going to do nothing but cheer for Samuel. Yay, Samuel. Go, Samuel. You can pretend he's running. You can pretend he's studying for a test or that he's just really struggling spiritually and he needs to be cheered on spiritually. All right, you guys ready? One. I'm serious. Nobody be too cool for school out there. We're all cheering on Samuel. One, two, three. Whoa! Samuel! Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Samuel! All right. Good job. Nice work. Yes. Samuel! Samuel! All right. See? Yes. Great. All right. Samuel, thank you. You may be seated. Way to be a trooper. So imagine if you were Samuel, you know? It's a cool feeling, you know? Yes. We will never stop cheering for Samuel. and this morning it was fun to be cheered for. And sometimes, and I know this is kind of a cheesy plug, but in all honesty, Braun and the team and your small group leader and people, Peniel and Melissa, that's what they want to be for you spiritually. And that I kind of crossed the cheese border, but truly, I mean, that's really what they want to do. They want to cheer you on and encourage you and just cheer you on. And it's fun to be cheered on. But sometimes the opposite, I guess, feeling happens spiritually. And, I try to think of a couple stories where you get the exact opposite emotion, like where you're kind of shut up, you know, you're shut down. You're humbled. You're just quieted, if you know what I mean. And let me give you, if you don't know what I mean, let me tell you a couple stories. The few junior high stories, because I know you guys are so way past junior high stuff. Yeah, you guys are like old. I was in junior high. I think I was seventh grade. Had a lot of wisdom when I was in seventh grade. It was at this stage, there was a girl that I was really wanting to talk to on the phone. I had got my swerve on, junior high, and I was expecting a call. That's what I'm talking about. And so basically what happened, we were sitting there and we were eating, and old Ron, that's what I call my dad, at least when I speak, old Ron was like, we're going to sit down as a family, have a meal. No phone calls, no nothing, you know. So old Ron, a couple calls come. And I'm like, Dad, let me talk. and every like three or four times in a row. Hello, like, you know how your parents, well, you guys have cell phones, but back then parents used to just answer the phone like ticked off, you know. So everyone who anyway. So old Ron, hello. No, he's eating. Like, quit calling, you know. And every time I was like, Dad, let me. And I was getting so ticked. And so it happened again. Different girl. No, I'm just kidding. I don't remember. I was just joking. Really not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Yeah. ADD. What? So it happens again. And each time, Dad, come on. Just let me talk, you know. No, he's eating. He just gets more and more ticked off. So about the fourth or fifth time, he answers the phone. Hello, you know, he's ticked off. And I'm expecting him to go, no, he's eating. And he goes, hello. Oh, hey, Bill. How, you know, and so I, with total perfect timing, go, he's eating, he's eating, he's eating. Like that, you know, like, Dad, you need to get off the phone. You're eating. You know, can you not sit down, have a meal? I'll play this game. And old Ron just kind of goes, whack, you know. And it wasn't like a blood coming from my cheek. Like slap, or like I'm abused as a child slap. It was just enough to kind of make me go, you know, like tail between my legs, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, that feeling when you're just shut up, you know what I'm talking about? Like maybe a coach yells at you for talking, or a teacher gets onto you and there's really nothing. You just kind of busted, you know what I'm saying? And you're humbled. Humbled's kind of the best word, but that doesn't really do it for me. So I'll tell you another story. Again, seventh grade, a ton of wisdom in this story as well. We're at a buddy's house, and it was like me and three buddies and their three moms, and I can't remember what we had planned, but it was something where I was kind of trying to be strategic in when I asked and how I asked so I could be able to do it, you know, kind of ask permission, and I kind of knew it was something I probably wasn't going to be able to do, so was just being all sort of strategic. And so finally got the verdict, and mom had said, no, you're not going. I'm sorry, you're not going. And by this time, I was really ticked. And I don't remember, there's more buildup, but I can't remember. But basically, I was really fuming. And so, here's what I did. I'm sitting there, and I'm just furious. So I think, what better way to communicate my anger than to flip her off? That's what I'm thinking. So I'm not condoning this, but basically that's what I did. So I thought, well, I don't want to just do it blatantly, so I'll be strategic. And so I'm sitting there, seventh grade, a lot of wisdom. And so I'm just doing this. Oh no, I'm just like this, kind of, you know, showing her how I feel. And I look, and we're all in the kitchen. And boy, I just really feel like I've communicated what I need to communicate. And I look in the microwave, and there was the reflection of my mom looking at me. Because she wasn't facing me, of course. I wouldn't do it to her face. Come on. And so I'm flipping her off to the back, her back, and I'm thinking I've got this, and I'm just getting my anger out. And I kind of looking, and she sees me through the microwave. So I'm glancing at her. And then I like, you know, and I look in the microwave and she's looking straight at me. And I'm like, so I try to play it off, you know. I'm like, you know, it's that feeling where you're caught. You've approached life a certain way and you've just been busted. And I'm going to tell you a story. From the Bible where this happens, where someone in scriptures basically just shut up. They're humbled spiritually speaking. And if it's kind of a depressing message, honestly, it depending on how you look at it. But and if you're not in a spot where you're ever wrong or you're ever shut up, and when I say shut up, I mean kind of appropriately shut up, when you've acted inconsistent with what your parents require and you're grounded, or if you just can't take that, then you probably won't like this and you probably won't like me, and sorry. But I know kind of a theme Bron's been working on is what happens when God shows up. And today we're going to look at a story where God shows up, and it's a really amazing story. So I kind of do that intro caveat. If you can't, in a mature way, be shut up spiritually, then you probably won't like this. So you can zone out, think about what you got to do this week, and it'll all be good. When I ask three questions, the first one is what's going on in your life? And when I say that, I mean, really, if with no Sunday school or Shoreline or whatever biblical answer, what's going on in your life right now that just kind of ticks you off? You're frustrated that God hadn't showed up in this area, or you're frustrated that he hadn't done this, or you're ticked that this is the way it is, or whatever. Because here, we're going to look at the story of Job, and we're going to really kind of look at the whole book, which won't take it as long as it sounds. But and Job kind of went through some interesting circumstances. And I'm going to start kind of at the beginning, and then we're going to end it like verse or chapter like 48, but or 40. I know it's going to be, we'll be here till 10:30. It's going to be great. Just kidding. Basically, here's what happens. Job's wealthy. He's living righteous. He's living blameless. And God is just proud of him. And Satan shows up and says, the only reason Job likes you is because everything goes well for him. And so God says, okay, well, don't touch him, but why don't you send him through some trials, Satan, and I bet you he'll still like me. Sounds a lot more biblical when you read it, but that's basically what it says. And so Satan says, okay. And the first little trial that Job goes through, he immediately loses his oxen and his donkeys. And then as soon as he gets that news, somebody else comes, and all the servants that were with the oxen and donkeys. And then somebody immediately comes and says, oh, you lost all your sheep too. And it was like he lost it in a really cool way, like fire from heaven came down. And anyway, and then immediately after that person came, literally a third person came and said, I'm the only one that survived, and you lost all your camels and all this. And then immediately after that person comes, he says, oh, and you lost your family. All the four corners of the house collapsed. The whole house fell on your family. They're all dead. And Job says, you know what? The earth giveth and the earth taketh away. He just says, praise be to God, basically. And here, in fact, I'll read it to you. Naked I came from the mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Well, Satan goes back to God and says, well, the only reason Job likes you is because you haven't let me attack his body. And so in his next trial, Satan goes and soars from head to toe, like disgusting sores, really gross sores. And so here Job's life kind of stinks. His wife is to the point where she says, you still have your integrity. Why don't you curse God and die? That's what his wife says. Why don't you curse God and die? And Job is still at a point where blessed be the name of the Lord, that he gives and takes away. That's what Job's saying. And so that's basically the first two chapters of Job. And then a really interesting thing happens from Job 3 to like 38. And basically, what happens is this. Three friends come to Job, and they are going to encourage him, kind of challenge him. And for 35 chapters, they do nothing but argue. These three people, if you look at the book of Job, there's three people who speak, and Job replies. And the three people who speak say, basically, the reason that all this crappy stuff's happened to you is because there's sin in your life. And Job says, no, there's not. And they say, the reason all this stuff's happening to you is because you're not living right. And Job says, yeah, I am. And then they say, it just goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So what's going on in your life? What is your, now, losing your sons and daughters and all your camels and donkeys and servants and money and all that stuff was really bad to Job, but there's probably some things that weigh just as much on your heart as his wealth weighed on, in his family, weighed on Job's. Maybe you just got dumped. Maybe someone you like doesn't like you. Maybe some friends that you were friends with have left you. Maybe they're talking behind your back. Maybe they're saying nice, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's stuff at home. Maybe it's family stuff. Maybe mom and dad are fighting. I don't know what it is, but there's stuff probably that's going on in your heart and in your mind that you can look at and you go, you know, that's kind of how I feel. That's kind of how I feel. And maybe not, but if not, you'll hit a stage where you'll say, I kind of feel like Job. I'm not real pumped about what's going on right now. My situations aren't making me happy. Well, anyway, here's kind of what happens. Well, two things. One, you kind of when your theology is kind of how you view God, in order to kind of understand what you need to think about God, sometimes it's important to understand what you don't think about God. And sometimes when we get in those stages, there's a lot of things that go through our minds that are inconsistent with really what we would say we believe about God. And that's what's happening to Job. He's talking to three buddies, and they're saying stuff that he thinks is wrong, and he's arguing with them. So fast forward chapter 38. This is where God shows up. And actually, I lied. Sorry. This is Job's last little griping session. This is right before it's Job talking, one of his buddies, and then God. Okay? Here's what he says. Kind of try and capture Job's heart. He's kind of irritated, kind of whiny, kind of I'm sick of this. It's kind of his, you'll get that. This is what he says in chapter 29. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me. Little pouting, little spiritual pouting there. When his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me, when my path was you ever said something like this for God? Man, I wish it was like that. I wish it was like it was back then. He says, when my path was drenched with cream and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil, when I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside. I was respected. And the old men rose to their feet, and the chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with hands. That was a sign of respect. So he says, I wish it was like that back then. And then he goes on to say, I thought, I will die in my own house. These expectations he had. I will die in my own house. My days are as numbered as the grains of sand. My roots will reach to the water, and the dew will lie all night on my branches. My glory will remain fresh in me, the bough ever new in my mind. And then he goes on. But now they mock me, men younger than I, whose fathers I would have disdained to put with my sheepdogs. Of what use was that strength of their hands to me, since their vigor had gone from them? So you see kind of the attitude? He's basically saying, you know, I used to be respected. I used to be this, you know, and now I'm nothing. I've lost my family. I've lost my wealth. He's just ticked, you know? And literally in the Hebrew, I mean, he curses God at times. He's just frustrated, you know? And sometimes I've been there. I've thought, God, where are you? Where are you? And it gets really humbling here in just a second. His friend speaks, and then God shows up. I'm not going to read it all. I really wish I could. I'm just afraid I'd lose you about 20 seconds into it. But it is very, very long and incredibly powerful. So I'm going to read a little bit, but then I promise, you know, so zone in just a little bit, and then you can let go. Lord shows up and says, the Lord answered Job out of the storm. God's been AWOL in Job's life, okay? A lot of stuff's happened, and God shows up finally, is what he said. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. In the Hebrew, he actually basically, I'd be vulgar if I said what it is, but he basically says, you need to be a man, is basically what he says. He said, I'm going to break you down to the essence of your manliness, brace yourself like a man, I'm going to question you and you're going to answer me, okay? Imagine being Job. Here he's been whining and griping. And then he goes on, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? And he goes on. And I don't, I mean, I'm reading it in a tone. I don't know what God's tone was. I don't know if he was gracious and like, Job, come on. Where were you, you know, when I did this? Or if he said it with going, hey, big boy. You know, I always knew I was in trouble with old Ron. Whenever old Ron did this with his tongue, I knew something's coming. Like, that's when I shut up. Because the hand's coming back, and whatever is in front of him, he's swinging, you know. Or he would say this. He would get real quiet. He'd get in my face. He'd go, listen, buddy. You and I are about to go round and round. I don't know what the heck that meant. I just knew if I ever heard, listen, buddy, you and I are about to go round and round. I knew, that's cool. Don't want to go round and round, you know. He's an overweight man. That essentially, God is saying to Job, listen, no. Listen, because when God shows up, I'm sure Job's like, oh, sorry. I didn't mean that. So I'm sure he's already thinking, I'll shut up. And God says, no. Stand up. Look me in the eye. Brace yourself like a man. I'm going to question you, and I want you to answer me. I'm going to question you, and I want you to answer me. And then he goes on, like, this is how long it goes in my Bible. This is where it starts, goes all the way down, and it's just saying, where were you when I did this? Who did this? What about this? Goes all the way down, this column, this column, and then all the way down this column. That's three columns. That's a lot of stinking columns. And then another fourth column right here, okay? All the same stuff. I mean, I could pick out anything. Does the hawk take flight by your wisdom and spread his wings toward the south? Does the eagle soar at your command? I mean, that's what he's saying. I mean, I get chills reading it because I've been reading it for the last couple of days. I mean, it is humbling. I mean, it is humbling. And I can't imagine hearing God ask me these questions with the attitude I've had, like Job, a lot. And then, this is the fourth column. Chapter 40, the Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Again, second time saying, answer me, big boy. Answer me. And then Job answered the Lord. And we're only halfway done with this part. Job says this, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. And you think, you know, Job, you learned your lesson. What, you shut up. Good. And God says, oh, no, not quite done, Job, big boy. Again, God says, right after that, brace yourself like a man. I'm going to question you, and you're going to answer me. Okay? And then he goes on. We'll just go to by column again. Another column, that's about column 5. Column 6, a lot of columns. And then half of column 7, okay? And again, pick out anything. He makes, let's see. Who dares open the doors of his mouth, ringed about with his fearsome teeth? His back has rows of, I mean, he just goes on. Who? Hey, just ask him questions. And then this is what Job says. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And you know, this is a story. There's not a formula in here. There's not a, hey, God does this, and this if you do this, and this. Or if you do this, and this, God will do this, and this. It's a story. And it's a true story, but it's a someone's story. And Job, his first response kind of does one thing. In his response one, and when I say response, I mean his heart. Because his perspective changes. You know, he was basically saying, in his last little griping session before, he was basically saying, look how spiritual I am. I am doing all these things, and I don't look, just look at me. Look at me, look at me. Is basically what he's saying. And you see that his answer changes in his first response. He just says, and that's what happened back then too. He covers his mouth and just says, I can't say anything. It's kind of like when he's eating. I'm eating. You know? I mean, I just want anything to say, you know? Just wasn't anything to say. And so you would think that would have been enough. You know, he realized his role. He realized his responsibility. He realized, I may need to reflect in a little bit different way. I may need to think about my life and maybe God's role in it in a little bit different way. And then God goes off again, basically saying, who is your daddy? You know, listen, I'm going to ask you, you're going to answer me. And so the second time, his response is a little different. He says, I know you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. So there's a recognition of God, his plan, and his power. And, you know, if I can ever get to a point where I'm okay with this, life will just be simpler. But God's answer to any question you could ask him, and it's not always his answer, but it could be. His answer every time could be, because I'm God. Yeah, but what? Because I'm God. God is good and God is in control. Those are just two truths that are really hard to grasp. And here Job begins to grasp them after like reaming session three. He says, no plan of yours can be thwarted. And then he also recognizes his ignorance again, in saying, I spoke of things that I didn't have knowledge about. And then lastly, the coolest thing is everything's okay for Job at this point. Lost his family, lost his livestock, lost everything. But you know what? Life is okay with this perspective. Because he says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And so a lot of times, we think God should show up and do this, or do that, or fix this, or give this, or take away this, when the truth is, God just needs to show up. And let me say that again. Sometimes I think, God, I wish you would do this, take away this, add this, or bless me with this, or help me give strength to avoid this, when really, I just need God to show up. God hadn't given Job anything back. He didn't take away the sores, didn't, you know, raise his family back up from the dead. But at this point, Job is at peace and content with God. And it's because he showed up. And so now the story goes on, and everything's given back to Job, and it kind of ends nice and clean and tidy, and which is great, I guess. God can end it how he wants to end it. But even if it wouldn't have ended nice and clean and tidy and he would have got all his stuff back, life was good because he understood, he saw God in his pain. And so you may be thinking, Kent, what in the world does this have to do? How can I apply this to my life? All that stuff. Well, I guess there would be kind of three prayers / application. You know that first song he gives, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be his name. You know, he gives and take away. Basically the song says, I'll bless you when life's great, and I'll bless you when it's not. And so if there was, kind of in reverse order of the story, my first prayer for me and for you is that we would see God, that God would show up. God's presence is enough. It may not seem like it. It may seem like he needs to do this, or we may have some assignments for God, but God's presence is enough. But sometimes I don't feel like I see him. And so the next thing I would pray for is I pray that I would understand his plan and power. So if I don't feel like I'm seeing him or sensing him in my life right now, I would pray that God just allow me to believe that you have a plan and that no plan of yours can be thwarted, and to understand your power. And if I don't really grasp that, then I'm going to pray that I would quit pouting, basically. Job was pouting. And I think if anybody had reason to pout, Job probably had some decent reasons to pout. But I don't know what that noise was. So I think Job had some reasons, but here Job quits pouting. And so if you want God to show up, pray that you'd see him. Pray that you'd see him in your life, see him in your relationships, see him in your family. Pray that you'd see, and if you don't feel like you see him, then I pray that you would, you know, submit to his power, submit to his plan. Pray that and ask God, man, what do you want? Not what do I want, but what do you want? And if you still don't feel like you got anything, then say, God, then read Job. Read the last several chapters of Job, and maybe you'll just quit pouting like Job quit pouting. And I don't mean to say all this harsh. I just pout a lot, you know, spiritually. I mean, I pout a lot. I do a lot of arm crossing and kind of, you know, the junior high girl stance, you know. That's what junior high girls, that's how they stand always when they see other girls and boys, you know. And I just do that spiritually. I think, God, why aren't you doing this? What's up with this? You know, why don't you change this in my life or make this better or whatever? I just pout a lot. And so because I pout a lot, I go to Job a lot, and then I shut up, you know, which isn't such a bad thing. So let me pray. God, I hate that I scooted through 8 columns of you speaking. But God, I pray that those in this room that need to read that, I pray that you would draw them to that tonight or this week. And I pray that as they read it in a real healthy way, they would be humbled, and that humbling would draw them to you. God, I thank you for what you did in Job's life. It's a really odd story, an odd book. But God, you showed up. And God, we need you to show up in our life. And if we don't feel like you're there, I pray that we would submit to your power and your plan. And if we still aren't really willing to do that, then I pray that we just quit pouting. In your son's name, amen.